issues of life are like shadows that no one can run away from. It is no respecter of race, culture, status, and gender. So you got to brace up to face the man behind your mask.
Okay, you gotta brace up to face the man behind the mask. That's what's up. You know what I mean? Doesn't matter how high the mountain seems to be, you gotta keep yelling at it till it leaves you. Life is deeper than the ocean, different people, different culture. Follow Jesus, he's the savior, he's the holy one from Zion. No more crying, wiping tears. You don't have to be this bad, the devil's job is to make you fear. But with the panic crisis, yeah, the world is really darker. Only Jesus is the lighter, everybody is a fighter. But with Jesus, you'll be winner. This is real life issues, and nobody got an excuse. We've got to rule and stop to go, we love to stop, we fight.
This is real life issues with Papa.
We were born to build a substance, but we lost it, but we're fighting.
Fight for your life. Fight for your destiny.
You gotta fight, baby.
You will win.
You were born a winner.
We are born to win.
You're a champion.
That is it.
Hello. Welcome to today's podcast. This is Real Life Issues with Abba. How are you doing today? I trust you're good. It's good to come your way once again with the 18th episode of Real Life Issues. Today I have a topic that is going to bless your life and also educate you. Today I'm going to be having an interview session with a friend of mine I met some years ago. I met her in church and we grew up together actually. And today she is an author, but a journalist by profession. And she just launched her book. And I have read that book to an extent. I wouldn't say I've read everything, but so far I know she has a lot to offer this generation when it has to do with writing. And I quickly disclose the name of the book to you in order for you to know that that would definitely be our title for this podcast. The title for the book is Beyond the Pain. And the next voice you're going to be hearing will be my friend's voice. I would like to welcome her right away. You're welcome to the studio, Esther, my friend.
Thank you very much, Abba, my friend. It's a pleasure for me to be here.
All right, thank you very, very much. I'm glad that you made up time to be here. I'm so glad that you actually honored this invitation. Okay, let's go straight to what we have for today. Without much ado, how is your day going?
Yeah, it's been beautiful.
Wow. The weather seems to be kind of cool. Are you enjoying yourself or you need something to cover up yourself?
Yeah, it's cold, but then we are used to it. We are in the rainy season, so we have to flow with the tide.
Oh, that's good. All right. I knew you as a friend right from our church days, you know. I'm still in church, no doubt, but at some point, we were not together again, the same parish, and then you happened to leave. I can remember you starting this book then, you know, Beyond the Pain. Then I didn't know the title, actually, but I knew you were actually going to write a book. I must tell you, I was actually challenged those times. I wanted to actually write a book, but I believe it wasn't my thing, you know, and that's why I couldn't continue. But today you are an author. Wow. You know, I'm glad. The day I called you and I happened to know that you had launched the book, it was something very exciting. I remember telling you that I was going to see you very soon in an interview. you know, on this topic he chose to, you know, give to this wonderful book. The book is right here before me, and I, like I said, I've gone through it, and it's a nice book, you know. I want to ask you, what really inspired you about writing generally?
Well, I would say writing has always been my thing.
Okay.
In fact, the first and only competition I ever won in my secondary school days was from essay writing.
Whoa.
So I loved writing. I love writing. And I would love writing.
You love writing and you love writing.
I will always love writing.
Okay, that's a good one. So you're just saying that it's something that is imbued. It's natural. It flows naturally. So you don't have to even struggle to pick up a pen and then start writing. So nothing inspires you or something?
Well, a lot of things inspire me. Nature inspires me.
Okay.
Nature inspires me a lot. It's not, even if writing for me is like a God-given talent, it's not like it's just easy to stand up and you are writing and it's flowing. Sometimes you discover that you have tore like 10 sheets just because you want to get something right. The way you think it should come out, it's not coming out that same way. So you cancel and cancel and cancel and cancel. But anyway, like I said earlier, nature inspires me. And then my own company also. Because when I stay alone in a quiet environment, I begin to reflect. And when I reflect on a lot of things, my imaginative senses open and things begin to flow.
Okay. I see why I'm not a good writer, because I get discouraged after writing two or three things and not getting it right. I can see.
Writing actually takes perseverance.
Wow.
Because sometimes you are stuck in one paragraph. Okay. You want that paragraph to come out right. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you are stuck in that paragraph, you will not make progress. Mm. So you will need to create an opening. So if you are not somebody that perseveres, you cannot write.
I see. I'm actually learning. I give up many times, actually. There were times I had picked a few things. I was inspired by maybe some kind of story or something. I just came up with something. But eventually, I couldn't finish it because I was discouraged at some point. Because I was not patient enough to start canceling and rewriting and all of those things. I see why, you know, writing a book is not an easy thing. Okay, I want to ask you, who is your mentor? A role model, as it were, not mentor. Let's look at your role model.
My role model. I have a lot of role models. I have a lot of role models. But the thing is, somebody I really look up to, or somebody I would say really encouraged me, was somebody that you know.
Okay.
Kamonke Abam. Somebody that really encouraged me.
Okay.
But if you ask me who I look up to, like in the writing world, Chinua Achebe was somebody whose book I like to read. Up to date, if I pick up any of Chinua Achebe's book, I eat it like I'm eating granite. I love his books. And wow. Then, after that dispensation, I would say another person I admire greatly that I like how she writes is Chimamanda Adichie.
Okay, that's good. Are you also inspired by their biography? Have you ever gone through their biography?
Of course I have.
Okay, are they from a humble background or something? Is it really what inspires you?
It's not about their background. It's not their background that inspires me. It's about how they write.
Okay, their pattern.
Yes, style
of writing.
Their style of writing. Chinua Achebe writes in a very simple way. Conversational. You pick up the book and you don't want to let go. I think Chimamanda also borrowed from that. She followed suit.
Okay.
So when you pick up their books, even though Chimamanda used a little words that are like more complex than Chinua Achebe, but they write in such a way that you see yourself in their mind.
Okay.
You are reading their work, it's like, oh, you were there when this thing was happening. And they do not use abstract scenes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They do not use abstract theme. They write with what we can
relate
with. Relate with.
Okay, that's good. I like that. Okay, and I learned that in as much as you are growing in order to write books, yes, it's good to have role models and probably mentors and all of that. And you were talking about their style of writing. Yes, it is good to follow with. Can I ask you a question? Have you been able to discover your own unique style of writing?
Of course. The fact is this. Anybody that picks up a pen to write and you write more than 10 paragraphs.
Okay.
Certainly, your personality will show in your writing.
Mm-hmm.
In as much as other people's way of writing will influence your own writing,
mm-hmm.
every writer has a personality.
Okay.
So by the time you pick up somebody's book,
mm-hmm.
and if you have read a particular author for like 3 consecutive times, you have read their books, and they give you a book without a cover,
okay.
and they say, okay, can you detect the author of this book? If that's somebody you have followed on it, you certainly will see the personality of that author in the book.
Okay.
So having a role model, having somebody whose work you love, does not necessarily mean that you are going to write like them.
Exactly how he or she writes.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Like I said, I've gone through your book, and no doubt, what you wrote there is wonderful.
Thank wonderful, you.
Yeah. And talking about personality in our books, this is the topic for this book again, is beyond the pain.
Yeah, beyond the pain.
So, is it actually because of your experiences in life that brought about the topic of this book?
Not really. It's not about my experience.
So, what prompted the title? Why give it the title?
Actually, that wasn't the original title I gave to the book as the author of the book. But when I passed the book through an editor,
okay,
in the person of Barrister Jesse Uno,
okay,
when he edited the book, eventually he called my attention to the fact that, okay, I know you have picked up a title, but can I advise that we change this title? I said, of course, you are my editor. I am paying you to do the work for me. So if you think this title is not okay, give me reasons why we should change it. And eventually when he gave me reasons, I saw reasons why. So if you read the book and you get to the end, you will know where the title of the book came from.
Okay, that's good. All right. Thank you very much for answering that question. So if I may ask, what was the initial title?
Okay, the initial title of the book, what I was writing was My Choice and My Pain.
My Choice and My Pain.
Yeah.
Wow. So what was the reason behind that choice of that topic, actually? The choice of that topic?
Okay. Which means now you want me to talk about the book, because that's actually what it is. It's about, the young man and the young woman, even... By the way, the book is about a family that has to deal with living with their children or child, as the case may be,
okay,
that has a sickle cell anemia. Now, the title, the initial title, emanated from the fact that they both knew their genotypes.
Okay.
But because they so much loved each other, they decided to ignore advice from medical personnel. They decided to ignore the warnings of their family and friends and decided to get married. So eventually when they got married and they had to deal with the sickle cell anemia, the crisis that comes with it, the way their children grew in pains, so they just were bound to live with those pains, and that was where the title came from. The choice they made and then the pains they had to go through.
Okay, thank you. Okay, you just summarized the book, and you're telling us about sickle cell anemia, and we are believers, you know, and these are the things that are actually happening in the body of Christ, where two persons come together you know, under the umbrella of marriage, and even having known that they are sickle cell, sorry, they are ES.
Carriers of
ES, sickle cell, they still go ahead to marry. What is your take on two partners who are ES coming together to get married?
Well, as a Christian and as a believer that I am, I'll say, except to get the confirmation from God that the person in question is your God ordained husband or wife, it is not a risk worth taking. Because except God is involved, you cannot deal with the pains that will come. Yes, as a believer, I know there is nothing impossible for God to do. But there are instances where it's not as if the woman or the man is a bad person. Okay. But that person is not just who God wants you to be with. Yes, there are instances also where people have prayed and said, God, change my genotype. And God answers. There are instances where two Christians have gotten married. Both of them are carriers of the sickle cell anemia gene. Okay. But yet, they don't have children with the sickle cell anemia. Yes, that is God. And that is why I said earlier that except you have a confirmation, a clear confirmation from God that this person is your spouse, don't try it. Because the fact is this, you may say, oh, the love is overwhelming. Mm-hmm. You may say, oh, the attraction, the compatibility is 100%.
Okay.
But when the pain, when you see your children in pain and it comes, I'm telling you, that love will be struck in the middle and it will be destroyed.
Wow. You're actually saying the truth. Most of us, most times you tend to advise people on this regard. I'm not a medical doctor. Neither are you. But from experiences, people's experiences, you have maybe seen one or two of these crisis. How would you describe it?
Now, apart from, yes, I know I'm not a medical person, but while I was writing this book, because of the sensitivity of the topic I dealt with in the book, I talked with medical personnel. So I actually had certified doctors and lab scientists that I talked with.
Okay.
And I did a questionnaire that I gave to persons. They answered questions. They did not know that I was writing a book. I think majority of them thought maybe I was doing like a research in school and stuff like that.
Okay.
So they answered my question. But then that's not to say that I've not seen a sufferer of the sickle cell anemia. Man, it's something that is not desirous at all. The child is crying of pains. You cannot even touch that child because as you are touching that child, the
pain.
Child is feeling pains. If you have ever felt severe malaria and you know how it dealt with your joints,
that is it, yeah.
I am believing that this is more than malaria. Because when you try to, the child tells you, my joints are paining me. You try to touch the child, it's like, no, you are breaking the joints. The child is crying of pains all over. And it's just like a little child, for instance, who cannot talk, crying of pains. You don't even know what's wrong with that child. You are touching the child there, the child is crying. That is how it happens with sickle cell anemic patients. Because even when the person is saying the bones are paining, and you are touching the parts that does not have to do with the joint, sorry, the person is still crying, and you are wondering, is it the joints that are paining you, or your entire body is paining you? And you know, as they age, the crisis becomes severe some of the time, and you're about to like spend like sometimes 2 weeks. Sometimes they can even flush out the entire blood in the person's system and infuse another blood. It's something that is very, very drastic. It's something that it's not bearable at all. And if you love your children, you wouldn't want to wish that on any of them, knowingly.
So, are you saying that no matter how in love we are, we shouldn't consider going into marriage if both of us, probably I happen to be an ES or my partner is an ES, So I shouldn't go into marriage.
I'll say no. Don't.
No matter how I love that my.
No matter how much love, don't. Love is not an excuse for you to inflict pains on your unborn children. Or your children, as the case may be. Because the thing is, okay, right now I know that technology has provided a pre-pregnancy test, a pre-test rather, that when the woman is pregnant, you can test the genotype of the fetus in your womb. If the child is a sickle or a sickle cell anemia carrier, you can flush at that particular stage before giving birth. But for how long?
For how long?
And it is very expensive.
Expensive.
Okay. It's not like it's something that is affordable. So why take the risk when you can avoid it? I mean, you may think that you love this person so much that you will die without the person. Yes, it will hurt you when you leave the person. That's sure. I'm not saying it won't. It will hurt you to your bone marrow. But then it is better you have the hurt yourself than put your children through pains that you will also feel looking at them going through that pain. And of course, it will drain a lot of your finances because you are managing the sickle cell anemia and you want your children to live at least. So it will take a large chunk of your finances that you would have even used to secure the future of your children. Okay. So it's not something that you should just gabble with.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you for that answer. You know, believers are people who I believe most times trying to exhibit how much of faith they have in themselves. And most times you try to share these things with them and you're like, I have God, I know I have faith. I happened to be discussing with you the other time and you said that if our faith cannot carry it, we shouldn't go into it. What do you mean by that?
Okay, by if your faith cannot carry it, you shouldn't go into it is this. Okay, let's say for instance, I'm a carrier of the sickle cell anemia, which is AS, and the person I want to get married to is also a carrier. And then, because we love each other and we are believers, we want to go ahead in spite of that. Now, you may discover that I have that faith that God is going to do a miracle somehow. Like, he's either going to change my genotype or neither of our children will be affected. And then my spouse to be will be like, oh, are you very sure? Are we not tempting God? Are we not trying God? He has revealed this thing to us. Why not we just leave it and ask him to bless us with somebody else? Now you will discover that the level of faith now is different.
Okay.
Sometimes believers do what we call trial and error and say, okay, I am believing God will do this thing. But you are not really, the belief is not strong.
Not strong enough.
Okay. It's not strong enough. You know that God can do, you are believing, but somehow inside of you, you are entertaining a little doubt.
Yeah.
For okay, how long am I going to wait for God to do this? And then, even when you go ahead and you get married, there is always this anxiety inside of you. When you get pregnant, the next thing is, you are afraid, is this child going to be AS or not?
Okay.
So, you know, when there is a little wavering, it means it's not whole.
Okay, thank you very much once again. I want to also ask you this. Has there been any person you have seen that eventually testified to you, or you've heard him or her testify that they were both AS, as in partners now, and eventually faith helped them through? Have you ever had anybody?
Yes. I have a very close friend. In fact, they are my adopted family. The man is a carrier of the sickle cell anemia. The wife is also a carrier. And funnily, according to him, when he was going to pay for the wife to be then, her wedding gown, the sister just died of sickle cell.
Ooh.
this sister was a sickler, she just died. And I think the following day he was going to pay for the wedding gown that his would-be wife would use. And both of them were of the AS genotype. They got married, and though eventually their first two pregnancies they lost, they had miscarriage. But now they have three children, and the three of them, none is a sickler. But like I always said, that for me was God in action. Because the first two pregnancies, either or both of them would have been AS, would have been, sorry, would have been SS.
SS, okay.
But God in his wonders knows how it is. She had two miscarriages. Those were people that they knew, but his faith and her faith were strong enough to say, yes, we know we have the AS genotype, but we serve a living God, and he will do wonders with us. So sometimes the confirmation comes from God because he wants to tell a story using that particular case.
Okay.
He wants to make a name for himself.
Okay.
But like I said earlier, if your faith do not carry it, and if you do not have a confirmation from God, then it's not worth going ahead with.
Okay, thank you very much. So what will you advise those who are into marriage already? Remember, the Bible says we shouldn't divorce.
Yeah.
God hates divorce. So what would you advise those who are in marriage already? They are married. And later realized both of them were AS.
For those who are already married, both partners are of the AS genotype.
Okay.
There's nothing God cannot do. Okay, recently, I heard a testimony. I was listening to Streams of Joy, their live stream program, and I heard a testimony of a lady who testified that her friends, both of them are the carriers of the sickle cell anemia, and their only child is a sickler. So while they were praying, she challenged God to help that child. She is not even the parent of that child, but her faith was strong enough, and she challenged God, and she prayed a prayer point. Even they are not even in the same. She is in Lagos, and these people are in Port Harcourt.
Okay.
But she prayed, and after that, she called the father of the boy and said, take him for a confirmation test. Yes, God has done it. And his genotype was changed from SS to AA.
Wow.
So that is a testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And God is still in the business of working miracles. God is still in the business of turning impossibilities around. What seems impossible before men, God does it in a twinkle of an eye.
Okay.
So if two persons that are carriers of the sickle cell anemia find themselves married, either out of ignorance or because of their love for each other or for any reason, yes, invite God into the situation. Tell him to take over, hand everything to him without fear, without being anxious, without saying, what will it be like? Hand it over to him and tell him to take control. And certainly God will step in.
All right. God is certainly setting if you invite him.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you very much once again. All right. At this point, so you will tell us where we can get these books.
Mm-hmm.
Or this book rather.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the hard copies are just with me in Calabar. I do not have I do not have a marketer. You know how marketers can be these days now.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have a marketer, but I have e-copies that are for sale on Amazon, on Lulu Books, and of course Kobo. So if you just type Beyond the Pain, it will pop up, and maybe you can order. Otherwise, if you need a hard copy autographed by the author, you can reach out to Abba from God. That's what I call him. We can reach out to Abba,
okay,
and then maybe I can wave the books to him and you get your copy.
All right, you've heard it. Thank you very much for honoring this interview. We are glad to have you around. Okay, at this point, you've heard it all, that it's something you shouldn't venture into if you don't have the the faith to pull through. Truth is, when you venture into marriage, knowing that both of you are ES, you're actually punishing the seed you're going to be bringing from that marriage. Okay, so what you have to do is, before you even get married, check your genotype. Go for the test first before getting to be committed in whatever relationship or marriage relationship, as it were.
Very important.
Yes, very important. So that it won't bring problems to you eventually. Remember, when this attack or whatever it's called, the crisis will arise, it will affect your love for your husband, regardless of what feeling you're having for him right now or what feeling you're having for her right now. So please take the advice my friend has shared with you. It will help you. We are in a very enlightened generation. Thank God for technology and all of that. Please don't take the risk of going into marriage with somebody that has an AS, and you inclusive having an AS, please, in order for you to avoid all these problems. Thank you for listening to us to this point. Tune in for another episode next week. God bless you. Thank you for listening to this point. Please tune in for the complete episode next week, okay? So please do well to drop your message. Do well to reach us, and we will be glad to hear from you. Thank you. Bye.